You know, I do take this as a huge responsibility, Trey, the job that we all have here, which is, I think, calling BS on people when we hear BS, no?
Uh-huh.
When we hear BS, we got to say, oh, you.
Yeah.
We got to call you on that. We're working with a couple of liars. I'll say it. Liars, Trey.
Okay.
Most notably that Bob Cooney fella.
Wow.
Did you hear what happened?
No, I
did you hear
not.
What happened? It was an awful lie, Bob Cooney. I feel like I was just getting to know you as well. Did you actually tell Jamie Lynn that when you guys go out, you don't have to drink while watching a game? Erroneous! Erroneous!
It's possible.
But Jamie, you just let him say that to you?
And you didn't
even, like, laugh at him?
I was kind of like, that's not true.
He gave me a stern look.
They're talking about going out to watch a football match, right? Who was the team, Jamie?
Man City, Chelsea, Saturday morning.
And this guy over there to your left is like, well, you know, Jamie, we don't have to go out and drink every time we go watch a game.
Really?
And I was
what
like,
time is the game?
I was like, who
12:30.
10:30.
Oh, 10:30.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'll see.
In the AM?
Yeah. A little brunch action.
That late in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
a late start for me.
That's a mimosa, Bloody Mary, and then Jack Daniels.
Hey, yeah,
that's
going.
Yeah, there you go. Come on
now. Problem.
Wait, I'm being questioned for my drinking habits now? That's laughable. That is laughable.
I was literally sitting at the computer putting some stuff together, and I heard that, and I was just like, that's hilarious. But kudos to you guys for a fine 5 o'clock hour, as always. Is that all the Sixers had last night? I felt like watching that game. And first off, I'm just going to enjoy loving the fact that I'm going to hate as the season goes on, and maybe even the postseason, Jonas Valanciunas. I'm going to hate this guy.
He's an all-star against the Sixers.
No, my he God. Was a superstar, even by a Bob Cooney standard superstar. Valanciunas was a superstar against the Sixers last night, particularly in the fourth quarter. Just a very disappointing game. Jimmy Butler went off and 38 points and all that, and could have easily had 40, if not a little bit more than that in the game. Had one shot that was blocked. He thought he had an easy layup and a rebound and whatever. But I just expected so much more from watching that game last night with the Sixers, expecting it to be that playoff atmosphere. You definitely had that feeling as you were watching the game last night. You knew Kawhi was going to go off for his points, and he got 36 last night. But really, JoJo and Ben Simmons only combined for 18 points in that game?
Yeah.
I know they had rebounds, assists, blah, blah, whatever. But that's what your two main guys, I know Jimmy Butler is one of the main guys, one of the headband brothers. He did his part last night. Ben and especially JoJo, I mean, really each their own, very disappointing. Ben, with the fact that he had so many turnovers in this game again, doubled his season average. So I know he didn't have 11 like he did the last time they played the Raptors, but at 7 this time around, that's almost double his season average for turnovers per game. And then JoJo, defensively and offensively, disappointing. Offensively, only 10 points. And then
I've been so trash.
He was honest. I give him credit for that. But in the fourth quarter, the 76ers scored 25 points in the fourth quarter. You know how many points Valanciunas had in the fourth quarter alone?
18.
18 points! He was backing down JoJo.
Yeah.
He was driving the lane on a couple of different plays. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that Kawhi Leonard guy's lucky this Valanciunas fella's on the team. It was a disappointing ending to the game. Sixers had their opportunities in the fourth quarter, led by a point or two in the fourth, and then just couldn't close it out. So, I don't know. I'm watching the game, and I'm waiting for the Sixers to hit their stride, Trey. And they fell apart late.
It just seemed like there was a lack of energy. You know, it looked like they jogged up to Canada, you know, like they had to run up there. You know, the last game was, what, Sunday?
Yeah.
So it just seemed like their legs weren't there. I mean, Joel seemed like he couldn't get past the three-point line on either side. You know, 0-for-4 behind the three-point line. Come on, man.
Your bench hit 1-3.
Yeah.
Your bench, Shamit, even Korkmaz, like some guys that have been pretty, you know, getting more and more consistent with helping you out from beyond the arc, they hit 1-3.
Yeah. You know, like 9-0 runs or 11-0 runs, they can come like that in the NBA with the way people shoot three-pointers anymore. But the Sixers' inability to recognize how to stop a run really concerns me. Like, you have a 6'11 point guard. You have a 7'2 center. All right, get them down. Look, we say this all the time. Get them the ball. Get them in the right spot and stop a run. run. Stop the other team's run. They're so enamored with a three-point shot that at times it's really bad. Their decision-making is really bad when it comes to the three-point line sometimes.
Yeah, it was just a disappointing fourth quarter, to say the absolute least. Again, Valanciunas, 18 points.
Valanciunas, listen to this real quick, Mark. First game they played, 17 minutes, 23 points. Last night, 17 minutes, 26 points. Now, that lends to what Jamie was saying at the 5 o'clock hour, that, you know, Sixers' backup center just isn't there. But he was toasting Joel an awful lot last night.
That's what I'm more... Look, I expect him to beat up on a guy like Muscala or something like that, right? I expect that. But to see him back down Joel Embiid repeatedly... And JoJo was funny because, I guess, and Ben even said it after the game, Embiid had a couple of fouls early in the game and he felt like he couldn't be aggressive anymore.
Right.
And I get that. That's a common basketball thing because you don't want to foul out. You don't want to get into deep foul trouble and not be there at the end when your team really needs you. But it didn't look like it towards the end that he was timid. I mean, they were playing a physical basketball game. It was like watching 80s basketball. Like, seeing two guys just go down there on the blocks and just beat the crap out of each other. Mm-hmm. That was great, except it was JoJo getting the crappy out of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not what you want to see from your big man. But the other part of it was that Joel, there's a couple of fouls in there that he didn't feel he fouled, and I think one of them he was completely just on.
Right.
But seeing him get all upset at the referee, and then the other time he went to block Valanciunas' shot, and he did, and the ball, Joel thought that it came down on Valanciunas and then went out of bounds. And I swear, after Embiid was staring at the ref and yelling at him, saying, "No, it's off him," you know, he looks at Valanciunas and he's like, "Jonas, tell him it's off you." It's like, oh, God bless you, Joel.
Yeah.
You're making me laugh, but you're really making me upset.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. Tell the truth.
Yeah.
But anyway, so just a disappointing game for the Sixers. And then I usually like trash talk. I'm a big fan of it. It gives us fodder, right? Even if when you're just a fan and you hear that trash talk, usually you could stick your chest out a little bit and say, that's our guy.
Yeah.
Talking some trash.
No.
Kamal Grugier-Hill, I am a fan of. From the moment he was kicking, extra points for you a couple of years ago even against the Cowboys, I was like, hey, I like this guy. I think I understand how to say his name now, but anyway, he comes out yesterday, and here's the story behind it. First off, I'll let you hear the cut, and we'll go around the horn with our reactions to it, but he is a starting linebacker for the Eagles, really the third of really only two linebackers that really play. Like, it's Jordan Hicks's show and it's Nigel Bradham, right, Trey? And then rarely you see Kamu Grugier-Hill.
Yeah.
Unless there's an injury or something like that.
Absolutely.
So, man. And Jordan Hicks has certainly been injured enough. So Kamu Grugier-Hill's in the Eagles locker room yesterday, and a gentleman named Rob Kessner, who's a producer for NBC, gets a little one-on-one time with him. Walks up and basically just asks about Dallas and the crucial game that is this December matchup, a nationally televised game. What do you think about this? And here's Kamu Grugier-Hill's response.
I mean, look at Dallas' history. They always choke, so we'll go down there and make them choke.
Trey Thomas's head is now buried in his microphone.
What are you doing, man?
All right, Trey, how you feel about that?
Please, like, did you really need that? You really need? I mean, we just won two games
in a row.
You just won two games in a row. You know, do you really need to poke the bear? I mean, you know, you already know that you're going into a hostile environment, a team that's really catching their groove right now, and you want to go in and give them a little bit of extra motivation.
Yeah,
I mean, for real, like
it's so funny you say that.
If that's how you feel, then play it. Play like that. Don't go in there and never was one to be the one to be out there yapping off at the mouth all the time, because then now you set your expectations so high. If you don't match it, then all right. Mm-hmm. Then now you don't want to talk to anybody.
Literally in my notes, I have poke the bear ? That's so funny. Just said, that's exactly how I felt about it. I'm thinking, you have a team that's on a 10-day layoff. Right. Sometimes I know we've talked about it with the Eagles. Is it hard to get up for a game like that after that? Do you need a quarter or two to kind of get back into the swing of things after maybe you put in a slow start and then you get things going again? After this, Bob, it's like, oh, well, put that right on the bulletin board of the Cowboys. I'm not saying that's the reason the Cowboys are going to win the game or anything, but when you could, I don't know, have them be a sleeping giant, let that sleeping giant sleep.
I don't know why where it does it come into your head to say, oh, this is a good idea. Let me do this. Trey made a great point. You got to back it up, but then when you're not on the field all that much, it's kind of hard to back it up.
Yeah.
So you're relying on your teammates to back you up.
Yeah,
exactly. And so you're putting it on everybody. I mean, you're coming out of the game where you only had two tackles.
I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he the one that dropped the clear pick six in the first Cowboys game?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And you know, he had really two tackles last week, and you feel like, all right, I'm going to go out here and put it out there.
Yeah, you know,
isn't Malcolm Jenkins. This isn't one. This isn't Fletcher Cox. This isn't you know your mainstays on the defense.
Yeah, it's your small friend at a bar talking smack, and then looking at you, being like, you want to go take care of that?
Yeah,
hey, Trey, you got this.
hey, you guys, go handle that for me now. Exactly.
Yeah, I just told this guy, you know, his mother was ugly. Hey, Trey, handle that, please. So I do want to kick this around because it got a really interesting reaction on social media from people that were like, "Yeah, Cowboys suck," and then it came from people that have been really watching football so far this year. And
if Fletcher Cox says it, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
If it's coming from Fletcher Cox, yes.
Yeah.
All right, there we go.
Because we know he'll go back it up.
Yeah. Nigel Bradham, yes.
Yeah, you know, someone who plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins, yes.
But one of my favorite things was a lot of Cowboys fans responded to the tweet by NBC Sports Philadelphia, and John Clark actually put out the tweet in quotes. Didn't put out the video, but put out the quote. And most people's responses were like, who's that? Who?
Well, who was the guy you had on Philly Sports Talk yesterday?
Newey
the writer.
Scruggs.
Oh, Newey Scruggs. Yeah.
He was like, Newey was like, yeah. Who?
Exactly. Yeah. He works for NBC Sports in Dallas, the affiliate in Dallas. And he's like, well, first off, I had to learn who the guy was. And I'm like, you don't remember kicking point afters? Yeah, whatever. But the number one response was like, who's that guy? Anyway, so I want to know on our Twitter poll here, brought to you by Window Nation, with the lovely Sam Wilson, as always, how people are feeling about this and what's it looking like so far, Sam?
This morning we asked, do you like Eagles linebacker Camille Grugier-Hill?
Now, we had to say Eagles linebacker just so people didn't say who.
Or you could say backup place kicker also.
Yeah, second string place kicker.
We asked if they like his comment about the Cowboys. So far, just under 400 votes. 43% say yes, 57% say
no. People not liking the sticking the chest out of a backup linebacker, essentially.
Yeah.
Other than that, today, plenty of 76ers stuff to come out. So I don't know if I want to call it a smoking gun, but for the people that had skepticism, that were a little skeptic about Markelle Fultz, there is a smoking gun that lets the skeptics, such as myself and many of us here in this studio, look at it and go, interesting. We'll let you know what that's all about. Corey Clement, Super Bowl champion Corey Clement, will join us at 8 o'clock. Les Bowen will join us at 9 o'clock today. They're going to talk a lot of Eagles. Trey Thomas, my man right over there, is going to break down some defensive matchups for this Eagles team going up against Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper in this game. Keys to victory right there as we get into what again? I'll say it again. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. The biggest Eagles game since the Super Bowl. Hold your applause, ladies and gentlemen. 610-632-0975. Also, a referee in the NFL gets put on leave. We'll break that down for you.
I like that referee, too, man. He's pretty cool.
We're going to get into that. And then also, the Headband Brothers finally draw a line in the sand. And they actually put some rules out there.
I like it.
Now we have a conundrum. I have an issue today. Personal issue, and I don't know. I don't know if this guy.
Are you having a gala? You don't know if you should invite us or something? Is that how it goes?
Well, that's definitely not true.
Well, I didn't know that answer.
I want you to look in the studio, the other studio, where Andrew Salchunas is standing right now, and I want you to stare at that guy.
No thanks.
Because I have a feeling. I don't know. I don't know if I should let Lithuanian people on the show today. That's how mad I am. That's how mad I am at Jonas Valanciunas.
Okay.
Should we let him do the update? I don't want to discriminate, you know.
I'll tell you what. As he's doing it, I'm going to go throw a pen at him.
Are you Lithuanian?
That'll do it. My great-grandfather was born in Lithuania.
So you shouldn't be on the show, then?
No, I mean, I can't claim enough of it.
How did you know he has some Lithuanian in
it? Because I knew Val.
Andrew,
we've talked about our...
I know things.
All right. I guess we'll let him do the update. We'll cast his check. The guy's getting married after all. Take it away, Andrew. On the line with us right now, Super Bowl champion running back, of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's always good to say. Never gets old. Mr. Corey Clement. Corey, good morning, buddy.
Doing good. How you feeling?
We're feeling
good. What's good with your brother?
What's up, man? You're on with Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch. Great to have you on. What's the vibe going into Dallas week for you? Now, I know you grew up in the area. You may or may not have liked the Dallas Cowboys a little bit, might not have liked the Star. But right now, as a member of the Eagles, what's Dallas week mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, this rival is big, especially being from South Jersey. I know how this week picks up, so you know, there's a lot of attention to detail, man. And to be honest, really, all you have to do is say Dallas, and you know, Philly has a different light switch on to get ready for some better Eagle football coming up this Sunday.
Corey, I got to ask you: have you heard what your teammate linebacker Kamu Grugier-Hill said about the Dallas Cowboys?
Nah, what did he say?
So just so you know, we're not putting words in his mouth. We're gonna let you hear what he had to say. Here it is.
I mean, look at Dallas' history. They always choke, so we'll go down there and make them choke.
All right, Corey, what do you think of those comments made by your teammate?
To be honest, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, so
attaboy.
There you go.
Well, so, you know, at that point in position, he had to say what he had to say, and I'm going to keep my words to myself. So that's what he had to say, then that's how he felt, I guess.
Can you please help the listeners out real quick, man, you know, because you've been playing ball for a while now. Have coaches ever talked to you about not giving the other team bulletin board material?
Yeah, they talk about it. At the same time, you know, everybody wears, you know, some people wear their emotion on their sleeve. So, at the same time, it's football. You know, it's a gritty sport. You got gritty players. You got gritty personalities. And, you know, if you're not going to expect it, then you're in the wrong business. So, don't let anything really surprise you in this league, because, you know, guys are definitely emotional, because when it comes to big time games, people want to win it. So, when it comes to people saying their own opinions, you know, either I ride for them or I just, you know, take my own back seat and just mind my own business. And this one, I'm just minding my own business and going to practice.
Gotcha. Okay.
But putting your head down and run, as they say, quite literally for a running back. Corey, I have to ask this. Speaking with Corey Clement, Eagles running back, this season has had some up and downs for you personally, some good games, a stretch of games where the production hasn't been there, and I know you've been dealing with injury. Now it seems like you're back on track. What's the roller coaster been like with you for throughout the season?
It's been good. No, I'm enjoying this whole season. And, you know, what's a season without adversity? Because, you know, it's either going to make or break you. And I think as a player, you know, you want some adverse situations to see how far you can keep on as a player. So, you know, still thankful for the season on how it's going. You know, obviously, I want to keep getting better as the weeks go on. So, you know, with the amount of touches I do keep getting, I just try to make the most of it, as you can see on the field. Just trying to give them any reason to keep me on the field, whether it's special teams, offense, you know, pass pro. You know, I'm always trying to do the job at 110%.
Corey, it seems every week I've been looking to, like, take something away from the offense and say, okay, it's getting back to where it was last year. And it's been hard to do, except for Monday night. After Monday night, I kind of felt like, all right, the corner's there, and it looks like the offense is about to turn it. Do you feel like that you guys are kind of hitting more on all cylinders than you have been at any other point this year?
I think right now, we feel as if, you know, our backs are against the wall, so we don't really have a choice but to play with some more urgency. You know, if we want to get to where we're trying to get, we have to, you know, turn a different switch on. We have to hit a different, you know, pedal. You know, we got to keep flooring it, because at the end of this season, you know, we want to be able to look back and say, you know, we didn't leave anything in the tank. So the motto is, after going out to every game, did you empty the tank or not? So I think this team's personality is definitely showing us a week, you know, continue. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying this fun ride. And, you know, this adversity is going to make this team even better.
Corey, you have, like I said, you've been coming along the last couple of weeks here, but so has Josh Adams, and now Darren Sproles has as well. What's it like being part of a rotation like that that seems like over the last couple of weeks it's really been getting a lot more momentum?
I think it's starting to practice. You know, guys are realizing that, you know, in order to have a positive running game, you have to trust the running scheme. You have to be able to time it up in practice. I think coaches do a great job of making sure everything is timed up well. And, you know, guys are just believing in the play calls, trusting in the O-line, trusting the receivers down the field with the blocks. And, you know, we're just trusting in, you know, what we see with our eyes as running backs. You know, we're trying to, you know, give Carson the most time as possible. So we can, you know, give him time back there. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't mind handing it all to us.
How does it work with the rotation? Is that something that Deuce comes up with, or is that something Coach Peterson calls?
To be honest, you know, I just, you know, sit there and just wait for whoever's getting called up. At this point in time, we all know Josh is a starter, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, guys knowing a role and, you know, and adding a specific layer to the game, we're always ready and, you know, ready for, you know, when our number is called. So, you know, guys are running better, you know, better at running certain plays than I am. I'm better at running certain plays than, you know, than certain people are. So I think they do a great job of making sure everybody's in at the right certain package.
How great is it to have Darren Sproles back in the lineup?
Oh, it's much of fun. Not even on the offensive side, but, you know, special teams, you just, you know, just holding your breath, seeing, like, you know, is he going to make this next guy miss? Because you never know with Sproles, man. That guy is awesome, electrifying to watch, and definitely a blessing to, you know, pay homage to, you know, be on the same field as him. So when I'm out doing special teams, I try to, you know, make the best block possible, and if not, you know, get him into the end zone.
Speaking with Eagles running back Corey Clement. Corey, like I mentioned, the roller coaster of the season for you. I think, in all honesty, I'm not just blowing smoke, man. I think you really do have premier talent. And I know you started to get things going against starting the season with the Falcons and then going into Tampa, getting a nice touchdown run for yourself there. And then I know you started dealing with the quad injury a couple of weeks after that. How much did that linger with you? And I know you never want to make injuries an excuse, but were you trying to fight through that when you came back against Carolina and then later against Jacksonville?
No, to be honest, the injury was the injury itself. I really don't think it played into my game because I took the amount of time off that I needed to come back healthy when I thought. And after that, I never looked back. So, you know, when it came down to the injury, you know, things happen. And to be a professional in this game, you have to take the amount of weeks or whatever X amount of recovery time to, you know that your body is back at a certain point. So, no, I didn't jump out there prematurely. I felt fine. So, no, I'm never going to use a lingering issue as an excuse because in order to play this game, you're going to have to play with something.
Corey, talk to me about this Dallas defense. They did such a great job against New Orleans last Thursday night, and they got a couple of young, fast linebackers. What problems do you see, you know, that are presented to you guys from their defense, and how are you going to counteract that?
No, to be honest, when it comes to, you know, playing defense, we just have to worry about our style of play. You know, staying true to our system, you know, keeping them on the balance. You know, they definitely have great linebackers, you know, led by a great guy, Sean Lee. You know, their back end is great. So we have to, you know, really, really hone in on what we want to attack as a part of, you know, going against their defensive ends, their linebackers, how they're going to flow during this game because they might hit us with something new. You never know. It's basically like they're trying to knock us out the playoffs, so we got to be ready for anything when it comes to this team.
Speaking with Eagles running back Corey Clement, when you think of Dallas, and I know you talked about how the fans are always intense, but just for you, this rivalry, and I don't know how it happened, but I know that when you were a kid, you kind of liked the Cowboys a little bit. How did that happen?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's elusive. He's elusive. Corey, going into Dallas, though, not just with what this season means, but really the rivalry itself. When you get into something like this as a player, is there a little extra added motivation because it's a divisional game and because it's a game that, you know, everybody here wants you to win?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, we have to realize that we're trying to give the city something special. Let's keep going back to the playoffs and, you know, getting back to the Super Bowl. We all had a sense of, you know, a type of feeling, type of taste that we all enjoyed last year because it was something special, and, no, we don't want to let it go. So, you know, this game coming up, it's not just another game. It's a big game because it's our next one. So, in order to keep the city afloat, man, we got to keep doing our job as a football team, as a unit, as a community, and, no, just really, really hone in on what we want to do as this project and finishing off the season strong.
Corey Clement, last one for you. This seems to be something that just keeps on coming out of the locker room, man, and we've seen plenty of video, and we really need to know. The people need to know, Corey. How good a cornhole player are you?
I'm terrible, if you couldn't see.
Did you see Jeffrey Lurie trying to play cornhole in the parking lot?
Oh, he did it way better than me, so shout out to his love.
You're a wise man, Corey Clement.
Yes, he is.
Corey, hey, man, I always enjoy talking to you, man. Always enjoy seeing getting to catch up with you in the locker room as well, so I appreciate you coming on, my friend.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you guys for having me this morning.
Go beat Dallas, Corey. Go beat Dallas.
We got you guys.
Now our man from the Philadelphia Daily News, Mr. Les Bowen. Good morning, Les.
Good morning, fella.
All right, Les, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot so far, but okay. I'm hoping more will be good. Carson Wentz is going to talk to us later and stuff like that. That'll be good.
Now, Les, so one of the things that's come about with Carson, it looked like that was the most we've really seen him. We've seen him improvise since the injury. Mm-hmm. How good was it to see him kind of be able to manipulate the pocket a little bit, yeah. Get on the same page as Golden Tate as well?
Yeah, it was very good. I thought that interception was really a terrible thing that he can't do this week against Dallas. And the kind of thing he didn't do last year when he didn't have any red zone interceptions. But by and large, the offense moved much better. It had better rhythm. It had better, like you said, he got out of the pocket a little bit, which is going to be important, I think, against teams that have a really good pass rush. You can't just stand back there. I think that's why they've had some of the problems they've had. He gets hit, he fumbles, he's trying to throw the ball. That's happened in almost every game up until the last few games. I think a lot of the things that the offense showed against Washington are things that they need to carry forward and can carry forward to these critical games ahead.
And what about just getting Golden Tate involved, period? Is this something that timing had to get down, better play calls? What do you attribute his success in the last game against the Redskins to?
I think they had to just get the offense going. They were trying to sort of force things to Golden Tate, and Golden Tate kept using words like organic, which meant, that his touches kind of came out of the flow of the game rather than, nothing else is working. Let's try to get the ball to Golden Tate, and he got to show, I think things loosened up on him a little bit once so many other things were going well. And on that one play, unfortunately, it was the play right before the interception.
Yeah.
You got to see his that whole run after the catch thing, which was so important in his acquisition and that we haven't really seen, that he hasn't had a chance to show it. He caught what was going to be like a 9-yard pass, turned it down the sideline, broke a tackle, and ended up with a 32-yard gain, which is exactly the sort of thing the Eagles need to do.
Les, I kind of came away from this game for the first time this year feeling like there was something to look forward to with this offense, that it looks like they're about to turn a corner. Did you get that feel? And if so, what was the biggest thing about it, or what was the biggest thing that made you feel that way?
Yeah, I just think the offensive line is playing better.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're healthier. Guys like Lane Johnson and Jason Peters are not as hobbled as they were there for 3 or 4 games. And I think the unit kind of has its mojo back. They're running more inside, which is something a couple guys had mentioned to me when the run game was struggling, is that they were doing more outside zone than inside zone like they did last year. I just think they've got the offensive line is the key to everything. And I think it's performing better with again, like I said about the interception, with a notable exception of that fourth down play at the goal line where Lane Johnson blocked the wrong guy. And, and I keep bringing stuff like this up because I wrote a piece the other day that, this is the kind of stuff, even if the offense is doing better, you just can't do this. And these, you're looking ahead at what they've got with at Dallas, with at the Rams, with Houston coming here. These are going to be fatal mistakes if they keep making them, and there's no reason to keep making them. So, with that said, I think the offensive line is kind of back on its game more or less.
Also, speaking with Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News, when you look at the defensive side of things, Jim Schwartz, as we've all known for a long time, does not like the blitz. He likes to get his pressure from his front four. Trey would like to see a little bit more pressure here, maybe press coverage, maybe more blitzes. Any chance, after hearing him speak yesterday, that they actually do those things?
Yeah, I think it depends on the quarterback and the offense they're facing, really. I mean, he won't say that, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that if you blitz them, they're just going to kill you. They're really good at reading what's coming and they see, they see your movements and they can figure it out very quickly. I don't think Dak Prescott is one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He is hard. He is elusive and he can escape and hurt you, but I do think you want to blitz Dak Prescott a little bit. Amari Cooper is, you know, he's totally changed their offense, but he's really the only guy back there that's going to hurt you. I mean, they can get the ball to Cole Beasley, but that doesn't usually, you know, that turn into 70 yards or anything. I think you can go after Dak Prescott pretty well. But the biggest thing with Dallas isn't going to be the blitz. It's going to be stopping Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. I still think even with the addition of Amari Cooper, it starts with Elliott. And you make Dak Prescott beat you, I think, is what you do when you play Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all going to be sitting back and hoping for, the fact that they could force him into a couple of mistakes here. The running back crew has seemed to finally figured itself out. Darren Sproles coming back obviously helps that. But Josh Adams and Corey Clement seem to have a nice thing going here for the past two games. What do you think about their development?
Yeah, that's a huge positive. You know, you look at ways that the game can be different than the game they played against Dallas before at the Link, which they lost 27-20. And that's one. I mean, I think the whole thing with Josh Adams has really developed over the last few games. He's gotten 20 plus carries. He's done a great job. He has that patience, that sort of hesitation that you look for from a guy that just doesn't plow into the line blindly and take the first 2 yards. He looks for a cutback. I think that's really an excellent reason to hang your hat on for anybody who wants to know why this might be different from November 11th when they lost. And Clement, he's an interesting player. You know, I think if you give him a certain number of carries a game, like 5, 6, 7, 8 carries, you get really good results. And if you give him more than that, maybe you don't get as good results. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't quite explain it. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a guy that you sort of pull out of the hat in doses instead of really giving him the ball all the time. And he's kind of a counterpunch, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think with Adams as the main guy, I think Clement fits very well into that sort of counterpunch role.
Les, do you think anything's going to change on the injury front this week? Do you expect some guys to be coming back?
Well, that's a critical question, Mark. I mean, we all know the guys that aren't coming back are Ronald Darby, Rodney McLeod, Jay Ajayi. You know, these are guys that Derek Barnett. These are huge pieces of the team, and you know they're not coming back. But Avante Maddox might be this week, and he really was playing well as a rookie. I think they probably put him in for Corey Graham at safety, and that to me is a substantial upgrade. Other than that, I'm not really sure. Like you said, they got Sproles back last week. I would expect him to get the ball a little more this week, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe be a little, you know, he was okay. I mean, he had a nice touchdown run with Jason Kelsey snowplowing the Redskins linebacker Mason Foster. But, you know, I think we'll see more Sproles. I think we'll maybe see Avante Maddox back. And, you know, that might be a substantial help.
Let's put a bow on our Twitter question right now. Did you like what Camus Grugier-Hill had to say? Brought to you by Window Nation.
Thanks for saying that one.
You're welcome, Sam. It's called being a good teammate.
We had over 4,500 votes today. 41% say yes. 59% say no.
59% said mm-hmm. no. It dropped a point.
All right. How about
that's
that?
Okay. That's okay. All right, Sam, what is your takeaway of the day brought to you by Swartz Culliton? Get the money you deserve. Call 1-800-JUSTICE.
My takeaway of the day is that throwing like a girl is not offensive because you guys should hope that you could throw it as well as
oh!
me.
Oh!
Now, Sam from the top rope.
Let me call. I have to call BS here. I'm going to call BS because anyone just tuning in now thinks we've been making fun of the way women throw all live long day.
No. It wasn't you guys, but.
Just make a joke.
That was Porter.
Your girl got an arm.
Your girl got a. Throw like your girl.
Throw like your girl there.
Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
I learned that according to Inge, who lives on another planet.
Yes.
Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are the Sixers' biggest problems.
They are. Yep. No, I don't want to. He also said that Carson Wentz needs to play better.
Yeah.
And that was the part we got out on. Yeah. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
Well, the next time you have to call out sick at your place of employment, tell them you're suffering from thoracic outlet syndrome. Why? Well, as we know now from a lawyer on Twitter, because it is very, very hard to prove or alternatively disprove. Rarely will diagnostic imaging reveal it.
That's right.
So next time I'm out sick, I have thoracic outlet syndrome.
Welcome to Thoracic Park.
Sorry, that came to my head yesterday, and I just couldn't. I had to say it out loud on the microphone.
Was that like a wise-ass comment?
Damn right it is, Chipper. But no, it is the most commonly claimed thing in personal injury cases because it's so hard to prove. Smoking gun. Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
Well, to my man Hill, hey, I didn't think you had to say it. But I'm gonna ride with you, baby.
Oh,
Dallas sucks.
What?
So hey, you already put it out there. So let's go get that work.
All right. Now here's my takeaway of the day. As a media member, Trey Thomas says that. But as a player in his prime, playing for the Eagles, going into Dallas, is Trey Thomas saying that?
No.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.